You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 45. So this week's episode is pretty straightforward, mostly a technical... I mean, it's a little bit more on the technical side of things, so not too bad, but still interesting regardless. So I will go through all of that. I'll have the usual theme and news, and then I'll round it out with an app review. There is one feature that I got late in the week, so as soon as I have a chance to play around with it a little bit more, I'll share that most likely for next week's episode, so there is that. So with that, I will jump right into the episode. So this week's theme is mergers and acquisitions. So in the business accounting world, it's basically transactions, or basically the combining of two or more companies to form a larger company. Basically, this creates, or generally a merger or acquisition creates a better financial position for the company due to efficiencies or labor combination or technologies or just a general fit where the two companies would be able to generate more profits and better products by working together rather than separately. The reverse can also happen through various corporate finance deals to create smaller companies from larger ones via spinoffs and carve outs. In this case, it may be because the portion that's being spun off may work better on its own, or the company as a whole realizes that the division may not be generating the profits it needs, but the people in that division may see a need that, or may be able to generate the revenue and profits on its own more than it can under the larger company. So the spinoff can be done. Companies generally merge vertically or horizontally depending on the type of merger, the type of companies combining. A vertical merger is generally a combination along the supply chain. So if a manufacturer and marketing companies realize they can work better together, there's that. A horizontal merger is one where it's two similar companies are combining. So let's say Google and Microsoft realize they can generate higher profits by working together. That's a more unrealistic scenario, but depending on the market conditions, it may at some point be something that is beneficial together. So that's all for that. So with that, I will jump right into this week's tech news. So Microsoft's Edge browser caught a couple of add-ons this week. First off, it got extensions for Adblock and Adblock Plus. So if you want to block ads in the Microsoft Edge browser, you can now do that. The other add-on is that it got the Save to Pocket extension. So if you prefer to read sites for offline use, or you want to save an article for later reading, you can now do that within the Edge browser. Opera VPN was released this week for iOS, so if you want secure browsing and browsing via VPN, you can now do that right from within the Opera browser. Instagram for Android and iOS got updated this week with a new, more colorful icon and a more black and white UI. The UI itself, or UI side of things, is to make pictures appear more lively and vibrant, so you're spending less time looking at the UI or interacting with the app and more time looking at pictures. Amazon released a new service called Video Direct. It allows you to upload videos similar to YouTube, but makes it easier to release them as individual videos or via episodic and seasonal content. So if you want to release your own videos as a series or in episodes, then you can do that better with Amazon. I will have a note at the end of the episode, or in the coming weeks, I'll say. I haven't really been able to test it or play around with it too much, but look out for more information on that coming soon from there. WhatsApp got a desktop client this week for Mac and Windows, so if you look in the respective stores, you can more easily get a native experience. It also added document viewing and sharing, so you can do that from your desktop as well. Google Translate got an update this week to have the ability to translate from within apps. It's a feature called Tap to Translate. So once you get the update, it will work on Android 4.2 and higher. So what this does is it allows you to be within an app. So if someone sends you a word and you don't quite understand the meaning and you want to get it in your native tongue or language, then you can just copy the text and you'll get a pop-up to let you translate it into that other language. And then if you want more context or more features, there's an open in-app function so you can get more Google Translate's full features. The iOS update also has offline translation. And in general, the word lens was updated to support Chinese, so you can take pictures of signs in Chinese and get it translated in Google Translate. Microsoft announced this week that they'll be shutting down Sunrise Calendar by August 31st in favor of Outlook Calendar, so look out to see if some of those features are carried over. But if you use Sunrise Calendar or want third-party calendar features, then that is a heads up there. Gboard was released this week for iOS. It's a new app it's an update to the keyboard app, or actually more specifically a new keyboard app, but kind of upgrades your stock keyboard app on iOS. It's an app from Google which allows you to search and send information as well as search for GIFs and emojis right from the keyboard, so you don't have to leave whatever app you're in and you're typing with. So you can save that time by switching to, let's say, the Google app, searching for something, getting the information you need, copying it, and then going back to, let's say, your SMS or whatever chat app you're in. You can, if you have Gboard installed, then you can do it right from whatever app you're in. So if you're in Facebook and you want to search for something, or in WhatsApp or anything like that, then it should make that more easier. And finally, the Google I/O 2016 app was released for iOS this week. So if you want to keep track of that, then that is now available. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's app review. And this week, I wanted to review an app to make it easier to merge multiple screenshots, but in a way that handles the long form of lengthy pages that you may be screenshotting. So the app itself is called Stitch Crafts. And what it does is, as I mentioned, it allows you to combine multiple screenshots into one long screenshot. So if you're, let's say you're taking screenshots of web pages and you want to send one image instead of, let's say, two or three, or in the case of the app, up to 15, then using the app, you can take the multiple screenshots and merge them into one. All the app needs is to have similar areas in each screenshot. So the bottom of the first screenshot needs to generally match the top of the first screenshot, and so on and so forth, and it'll merge them automatically. And then the merged images are saved into your gallery. So in the case of this week's, you'll see one of the images on the left in this week's episode's artwork, where I have a long screenshot of an article I screenshotted. So it's basically two screenshots that I merged together, and I combine them into one. So the app basically finds those common areas, puts them on top of each other, and exports one image all together. So that's really all it does. So let's say you're taking screenshots of anything else as well. So not only articles, but let's say there's a text SMS that you got, or there's a conversation that you want to screenshot because it's a funny joke, or you want it for backup or reference, or anything like that, then you can take that screenshot or screenshots, merge them together, and you have one long screenshot to save or share. Same thing in other apps as well. So let's say you're actually, those are the only two examples that really come to mind, but maybe you're in Facebook reading a post and you want to keep it as backup, then you can do that as well. Or even Google Plus, maybe Twitter, or you're in a settings menu, for example, and it overflows into multiple pages and you want to show exactly where it is in one image, then you can do that as well. So whatever the use case may be, if you have a number of screenshots you want to merge into one, Stitchcraft can work for you. So the free version is ad-free, or is ad-supported, and then the paid version, so the ad-free version, is 99 cents, but you do get the same features in the free or paid version. It's just if you like the app and you want to support the developer, it'll only set you back 99 cents. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I will jump right into this week's entertainment segment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you in a couple of great and exciting ways. So if you want to help expand the show and the network, we do have a couple of Patreons set up to help you support the show and the network in whatever way you can. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to see more posts on the feed, you want to have an Android app to quickly and easily get to the post and via different categories and things like that. Let's say you want to have a Q&A segment, then be sure to visit patreon.com/patelin01 to check out the various patron levels and what kind of things you can unlock by helping to support the show. You can also help support the network by visiting patreon.com/geekio. This helps our flagship show go ad-free. So let's say you just want to blaze through the show, listen to all of it uninterrupted. You can do things like that. Let's say you wanted a weekly D&D episode. Helping to contribute to the Geek.io Patreon can help do that as well, as well as adding special patron content, adding a new show, getting more con coverage, all of the great geeky nerdy stuff that we all love. So that's patreon.com/geekio for all of that good stuff, as well as patreon.com/patelin01 to help the show expand as well. But that is all for that, so back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. Pretty straightforward and simple entertainment segment for this week. Not too much news, only a couple of things of what I watched. And then I'll jump into this week's film review. It's probably pretty obvious which movie it's going to be. And then I'll round it out with the Star Wars review as well. So I'll jump right into it. So this week, the Star Wars show was announced. It's a new weekly 7-minute show that releases at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can get it on the official Star Wars YouTube channel and via the Star Wars app on Android and iOS. So it's basically a quick roundup of news and interviews and things like that, and whatever's going on in the Star Wars universe. So the first episode is out now, so definitely worth checking out. And also, the Assassin's Creed trailer was released this week. It's the new movie coming soon, starring Benedict Cumberbatch. So check it out. That's on YouTube as well. As far as what I watched, I also had a chance to continue watching Game of Thrones. I watched season six, episode 3, Oathbreaker. So actually, I originally thought it was related to the sword, or what I was thinking was the sword, but turns out it actually is related to the Night's Watch. So definitely a good or interesting cliffhanger. It's not necessarily a big one, but we do see the change in attitude of one particular character. I also had a chance to watch Fear the Walking Dead season 2 episode 5 Captive. So this episode is more in the continuation with the guys from the dock who tried to take over the ship and our primary characters. So there was that, but the so not too much movement. They didn't get any closer to Mexico. This was actually a side trip to save a couple of family members. I also had a chance to watch Gotham season 2 episode 20 Unleashed. So we have Azrael released into the world, and how Detective Gordon and Bruce Wayne are dealing with that. And I also had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 20, Emancipation. So we have more of the relationship and the tenuous relationship between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the ATCU and how they're going to stop the Inhumans. We have a quick tie-in with Captain America Civil War as far as the the peace accords for the Registration Act goes. So not too much, you're not really missing too much there if you have not seen Captain America Civil War, but it is name dropped in this particular episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Otherwise, I had a chance to continue watching more James Bond movies. I had a chance to watch Diamonds Are Forever and Live and Let Die. So Live and Let Die is the first Bond movie with Roger Moore. I think first or second movie with Roger Moore. So it takes a bit of getting used to with that change up there. And I had that weird offside thought that I wonder how Q deals with the changes in Bond. But other than that, that's about all I had a chance to watch. So with that, I'll jump into or that's all I had a chance to watch aside from the film review for this week. So I will jump right into it. So this week's film review is Captain America Civil War. I had a chance to see it last Saturday, so not opening day, but opening weekend. So overall, it's doing pretty well. The official release date of the movie is May 6, 2016, with a runtime of 146 minutes. So I believe it is at the moment the longest running Marvel movie. It has three taglines: Divided We Fall, Whose Side Are You On?, and United We Stand, Divided We Fall. A brief summary of the movie is that political interference in the Avengers' activities causes a rift between former allies Captain America and Iron Man. The movie was directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. The movie is unofficially being called Avengers 2.5, mostly because we have a lot of the cast from the Avengers in this movie and how the team is getting divided between those who favor the registration of extra or super-powered individuals versus those who do not believe they should be required to register. So at last check, it had an IMDb rating of 85%, as well as a 91% critic score and 92% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So it is being generally well received. I'll jump right into the review and have my thoughts along the way. So to start it off, the relationship built between Tony Stark and his mom to reflect his loss and the betrayal he feels by Captain America, I thought was actually much better done in this movie than it was in Batman vs. Superman. So in this case, we had the build up to why Bucky was the importance of the car that Bucky caused the accident with and what was going on there. So we had that build up, the suspense of who's in the car, and then we had the build up in an already tense situation that was built up as well between Iron Man and Captain America, where Tony Stark was going in to offer that truce and say that they are on the same side regardless of how they feel about it, there's no hard feelings, that sort of thing. And to learn that Bucky was actually, and this is a spoiler, I should have said it earlier, but so it's not too late, but there will be spoilers, so jump ahead a few minutes, but to the Star Wars profile. But in this case, we find out that Bucky was actually the person who had killed Tony Stark's parents, and that takes him back to being angry with Captain America because we find out that he knew about it and did not say anything. He thought it was not prudent, or he didn't need to say anything, but I guess seeing how upset Tony got, he should have said something. Next up, though, when we have Iron Man leaving the underwater military base to go to meet up with Captain America, how does the military not see Iron Man flying away so close to the base in his suit going at full power? So either they weren't monitoring it or they were tracking him all along and they're not doing anything. But seeing as how I was led to believe that they would have followed Tony no matter what, especially since he hacked into the power so that he could have a private conversation with Falcon. So how does no one see Iron Man flying away at a quick distance, especially when he left in his helicopter? So that kind of bugged me. It wasn't a big deal, but I was thinking, why didn't he have wanted to fly further away first? If he had, then it didn't seem like he had traveled far enough. The part of the movie that definitely worked for me was Spider-Man, in that they made him a high school genius with indie developmental skills. So he built his PC, he built his own web shooters, and then put together his own suit. So you got that feeling that he is a kid in high school. He's really smart. He doesn't have all the resources and tools that he needs, but he's making do with what he can, and he's able to help people at the same time. So one of those things that I'm actually liking, and I want to see what they do with his movie, and I'm kind of hoping they don't mess it up, but I'm glad they didn't put in an origin story that would have definitely taken away from the overarching movie to begin with. So granted, it's not a Spider-Man movie, but still, I could have seen how they did that, but I'm glad they didn't. Next up, if everyone just listened to the Vision, Team Captain America could have skipped jail and planned their retreat secretly. So the purpose behind the Vision in the movie essentially was that they need to not fight, stay away from it, and everything will actually be all right regardless of how they feel about anything. So if Scarlet Witch had stayed in the apartment and not left, then she would have avoided being in jail. If they wanted to go and hide out and plan how they want to proceed with their lives, then they could have done that on their own. But by not listening, that is why they had to go through the pain that they had to go through. And finally, who sees Black Panther show up, take off his mask, and not ask what's going on? So the whole Black Panther storyline was actually pretty cool. I like the the introduction of him. But to me, it seemed kind of weird that everyone just assumed that, okay, well, he's the king of, now I'm blanking on that name, the country name, but he's a king there. He's the son of the former king. So why isn't, like, if he's showing up in this black suit or this Black Panther suit, no pun intended there, why is he not, why is no one saying, well, why are you, how did you manage to go about this? How are you as strong and fast and able, capable as everyone else? It's kind of the whole Batman thing to me, that if someone took off Batman's mask and saw Bruce Wayne, everyone would be questioning it or saying something or having a freak out. So why didn't they kind of have more there? I mean, we had a brief just summary of why, of the transfer of power, but I think that was with only one of the team members, and that was it. But overall, the movie was well done. It was a little bit slower than I expected it to be. There were the action, and then I did like the tie-in with Ant-Man and how they introduced, I think it's Giant-Man, so the exact reverse. I like the whole enlarging of the explosive truck or the tanker trailer and how he thought it was a water truck. So, pretty good introduction there. I like the conflict between Black Widow and Hawkeye. So overall, a well-done movie. It wasn't rushed. It was a little bit slower, as I said, so it didn't feel rushed to me. But I want to come back to, I actually liked how they handled the whole parent situation with Tony Stark, mainly because it didn't feel cheesy. They brought it around really well. The whole flashback scene with young Tony Stark and his parents seemed kind of weird and out of place, but it did tie in with the pain he felt later. So overall, the pieces worked. There was actually a backstory which they were able to put into the movie to explain the feelings that they were having. So something that we didn't quite get, I felt, in Batman versus Superman. So maybe the extended version of the movie of Batman v Superman will explain it away. But overall, Captain America Civil War, I think, is definitely a movie worth watching, and continues now the new tradition of good Marvel movies. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's Star Wars profile, which is the Zillow Beast. So I was thinking about the Captain America shield and the whole mergers and acquisitions theme, and what kind of creature or being in the Star Wars universe would fit. And the Zillow Beast came to mind. So it is a 318 or approximately 318 foot long creature, which weighs around 60,000 tons, so very big and very heavy. Its native homeworld is Malastare, so it is used to a rough environment. It was originally considered extinct by the Dugs during the Battle of Malastare, but it was found out that they were still alive when one was brought from Malastare to Coruscant, because Emperor Palpatine wanted to test out his skills. Force notable feature, which I'll get to in a second, but they are considered the top of the, or they were considered the top of the food chain until they were presumed extinct. So basically, because even though they share the homeworld with the Dugs, the Dugs are not the highest beings. The Zillow Beasts are. So the Zillow Beast's most notable feature is their heavy plated armor. This is notable because it's invulnerable to blaster fire, explosions, and lightsabers. So, it is one of those beings that is very is 99% invulnerable. And I say 99% because it could be stunned by electric shock. via gaps in the armor. So there were small gaps, but in the Clone Wars, we learned via Anakin that submitting electricity through the gaps causes great pain, and it is the only way the Zillow Beast could be brought down. And so, as a bit of speculation, I don't know if it's related to the Stormtrooper in The Force Awakens who had that baton when he was fighting Finn, and it was able to stop the lightsaber. But if it's related, I don't know, or if it's a special vibro sword that we don't know too much about yet. Something I'm going to look into, but it might be related, it might not. But the Zillow Beast is one of the few creatures in the Star Wars universe that is invulnerable to multiple types of attack. So that is all there is for that. So with that, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, you can find past episodes, subscription links, social media links, and all of that good stuff at PatelN01.com. And of course, you can find this show and any show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. And of course, if you like this or any other episode, be sure to leave us a good rating on iTunes or give us a thumbs up in Google Play Music. But that is all for that. So thanks for listening, and until next time.